chapter 10, the world is going to go into chaos like it has never been in before. So here we are, Revelation chapter number 10. John is writing these words, and in this chapter, he's told to do some unusual things, some things he hadn't been told to do up to this point. One is, don't write down some of the things that you see and hear. Don't do it. And then he's given a particular food to eat that he's never been told to eat before. So Revelation chapter 10, let's read the chapter, and it says in verse number 1, it says, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was, it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. As we talked about last week, we believe that that represents a show of dominion, of authority over the sea and the earth. Well, who has dominion over all of that? The Lord Jesus Christ does. God Himself does. And notice what He says. It says, He cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And I think we ended last week with this thought about a lion. A lion doesn't roar before the kill. A lion often roars to indicate to others that this is his territory. A roar of an adult male lion can be heard up to 5 miles. The roar of an adult female lion can be heard up to 50 miles. Oh, never mind. I just made that up. Right? But a lion roars. And what the lion is doing whenever they're roaring is they're telling the other lions, this is my territory. Okay? You have the picture of this mighty angel standing with 1 foot on the earth, or on the land, 1 foot on the sea. And it says in verse number 3, verse number 4, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roared. How many of you are like me? You believe that that roar was the roar heard round the world. Because this mighty angel is declaring, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And all the globe could hear that roar. And then it goes on. It says, and when he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voices. And when the 7 thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the 7 angels, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, and he hath declared to his servants and the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So we see here in these verses, we see in the verses 1 through 3, we see the angel that John saw. Amber's not going to work for me, apparently. And John talks about his description. He talks about his dominion. He talks about all of those things about this mighty angel. And in point number 2 is where we're going to pick it up tonight. And we're going to talk about not just the angel that John saw, but the announcements that John heard. John, everything here in this passage is reaching out to the senses of John. He sees, now he hears, and in a moment he's going to eat. So God is working in his life, and in just a very particular way. Let me remind you this, that the word and let the word and the devil, the world and the devil, do what they want. Here's the truth. Our Lord reigns today and will forever. No matter what else is going on in the world today, this truth is true today, but as the end draws near, this is going to be increasingly clear to you and I as the world is going to continue to get, as the Bible says, wax worse and worse. The Word of God is going to stand more true and more true. So we see now that there were voices that he heard. In verse 3, the Bible says, "And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices." Can you imagine? Here's John. He sees this mighty angel. And apparently this vision, this angel is big enough, large enough to stand with one foot on the sea, one foot on the earth. And it impresses John. But then John hears these things. He hears as a lion roars. And then seven thunders are thundering. John hears the seven thunders speaking. Apparently they spoke a language that John could understand because John's getting ready to write them down. So these weren't just necessarily the boom of a thunder today like a rainstorm. These thunders that were sounding were some voices. Now, you say, well, what did they say? I don't know. Because God told him, don't write it down. Don't write it down. You know, I was reminded about Paul. Paul at one time was taken up into heaven while he was still on this earth. And he wrote this. He says how that he was caught up in a paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for man to utter. There are some pronouncements made in heaven that apparently are not fit for our ears today. We wouldn't be able to understand them. Maybe we couldn't grasp all of that was going on. I don't know. But the reason God puts this verse here is maybe to teach us a lesson. He wants us to know that there are some things in this life that will remain a mystery. Have you ever had something happen in your life and you not understood why? How many of you have been there? Amen. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Amen. You know, there are some things in life that are a mystery. Now, there are some things that happen in our life and we live long enough and we can look back and we can say, you know what, now I know why. Like John Wayne said, he said, you know, bad things happen to people and if you're stupid, more bad things happen to you than other people, right? But, you know, sometimes things happen to us because we do something stupid. You know, it's like, I can remember the time that the parking lot was iced over and I'm telling you, it was iced over. It was a good half an inch to three quarters of an inch thick. And I decided I was going to walk out to the mailbox and get the mail. I fell out there just this side of where the last row of parking spaces are at. And I hit so hard that I just know it knocked me out. I fell flat on my back. Have you ever seen those cartoons where the character's feet slips out and it's like they are prone and I'm pretty sure I did that. It hurt me so bad, I didn't even, whenever I was able to move to get back up, it hurt me so bad, I didn't even care if somebody did see me fall. See, how many of you have ever fallen and the first thing you do is you look around to see who saw it? It hurt me so bad, I didn't care. I don't even think I got in the mail that day. I didn't care anymore. All I wanted to do was crawl back to my car and get in it and go back home. It hurt me so bad. But ever since then, I am very, very, very careful about walking on ice. You know, I look back at my life and I think, that happened to me because I was a dummy. I knew better than to walk on that ice. But I thought, you know, if I shuffle along real slow, take real short steps, it'll be all okay. No, ice will fool you like that. Ice will make an idiot out of you. I don't care how little steps you take. It is slick and it'll hurt you. There are other things that have happened in my life that I look back and I think, now I understand why that happened. But you know, there are some things that have happened in my life. There are things that have happened in our church that are a mystery to me. For the life of me, I don't know why. I don't understand it. there are some things in life that just are going to remain a mystery this side of heaven. Here's a quote or a partial quote that I read years ago that really has helped me. And the idea is this. If I could understand everything about God, then He's not that big of a God. But you know, there are some things that I just don't understand. There are some things that have happened to me. There are some things that are going on in my life. I can remember years ago, whenever I found out I had multiple sclerosis and what all has happened since then. I'm going to tell you, it's a mystery to me. I don't understand why that's happened. I can see times in my life that it definitely has been a bad thing for me. Maybe it's been good for me. I don't know. I hope God can explain that. You know, I've watched as some people have gotten cancer. Some things have happened. You know, it's a mystery. Deuteronomy says this. Deuteronomy 29:29 says this. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. You know, the longer I live, the more I realize that's true. And then it goes on. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There are some secret things that just belong to God. You know, there are thousands of questions in life for which you and I, we don't have answers. Boy, if you have I don't even know what age it starts at with a child. How many of you ever had a child that asked why? Amen. Or a grandchild, why? Man, it goes all the way up until about their early 20s. Amen. It doesn't really stop. And it's like, really? Why? Why? Why do good people suffer? Have you ever asked that question before? I have a book. Randy Alcorn wrote a book. Why good things or bad things happen to good people. And I thought, man, that's great. So I ordered that thing. That thing is that thick. And I thought, what? I tried listening to it on Audible. I finally quit. Because I thought, I'm looking for, you know, like a pamphlet. I'm looking for a little pamphlet like this right here, and I can read it in 5 minutes. Why bad things happen to good people. All right, there you go. You know what the essential of the book was? God is who God is. And God's going to do some things that you and I cannot understand. There are going to be some things that we're going to call bad. There are going to be some things that are going to make us hurt, make us suffer. But oftentimes they drive us to God. Maybe that's the reason why they happen. But there are some things that we just scratch our head and we wonder, I wonder why. I wonder why. You know what I'm afraid of? I've seen Christians walk away from the church and from God because things have happened in their lives that they just couldn't wrap their head around why. Oftentimes I think that whenever things happen in our lives that we don't quite understand, God's wanting us to simply trust Him. Why do babies get sick? Why do babies get sick and die? Why is there so much evil in our world? Why is living holy so hard? We'll never have the answers to these and probably 10,000 other questions this side of heaven. The best thing we can do is leave the mysteries with God. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Paul writes this. Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory." He says, listen, what you and I are going through today, the burdens today, the mysteries today, are for God's glory. The Apostle Paul wrote, here, hold your finger here. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. Back up 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. There's an interesting verse, 1 Corinthians 13. I was reading this, and there, one of the commentaries had an illustration. What's that thing that the ladies do? They put the little piece of cloth on a hoop, and they, what is it? embroidery type. Yeah, have you guys ever seen the backside of embroidery and how does it look messed up? You know, have you ever had a rug, you know, and you look at the beautiful pattern on the rug, but then you flipped it over and it's like, wow, that makes no sense. Well, the illustration that I was reading was this guy said, imagine that you and I are looking at the embroidery or the bottom of the rug from here. And sometimes on our side, it looks like a mess. It doesn't make any sense at all. But whenever we get on the other side and we look down, we'll be able to see the pattern completely. And I was thinking about that last couple of days because we have a Roomba in our upstairs and it runs. But for some reason or another, we have a rug that's in our living room and it's got a pattern on it. And the Roomba gets on that and it gets confused and stops. And I don't know why, it just, and it just finally just gives up. And it just sits there. You got to pick it up, move it out. So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll roll up the rug because then the Roomba won't get stuck on it. But every time I roll up that rug, I think about this. I roll that thing up and I'm looking at the bottom side of it. And if I flip that rug over and had you walk into my living room and say, guess what it looks like on the other side? There's probably not a one of us in this room that could guess what it looked like on the other side. Because all you'd see are the glue marks and the patch marks and the pieces of string hanging off here and there. But whenever that dude is turned over on the other side, that is quite a neat pattern on it. And you can see it completely. I tell you something. I fear that I spend a lot of time looking at the bottom side of the embroidery pattern. And I think, wow, what a mess. And God's looking down and he's thinking, what a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. It'll look different whenever we see it from his perspective. Well, here's the verse the Apostle Paul writes that I've always found was an interesting verse. Look at it. Let's back up. Verse number 10 of 1 Corinthians 13. He says, but when that which is perfect is come, he's talking about the Word of God, then that which is in part shall be done away. All right? And it's, by the way, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will perfect and conclude all of this. But in verse number 11, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse number 12, for now we see through a glass darkly. Have you ever felt like you were just seeing part of it? Just kind of, Lord, will you just give me a clear picture? Paul says, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I'm known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Paul says, right now I see through a glass darkly. You know what he's saying? There's some mystery. John is there. Everything is being unveiled before him. And he's watching as this angel steps foot on the land and on the sea. And he emits a cry. And then the seven thunders thunder out. And apparently there are voices that can be understood. And he's starting to write it down. And God says, no, stop. And I don't know why, except for maybe there's just a mystery going on. The voices of thunders remain a mystery. But the next voice John hears, now notice, all right, and in verse number 4 it says, when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard, now notice, see, he was about to write, but then he hears this, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now John is listening, and he's waiting for what God wants him to do, and then right in the middle of this, God calls out and says, stop, don't write that down. We'll read on. It says in verse number 5, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are, that time should be no longer. And in verse number 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery, here it is, the mystery of God shall be finished, as He hath declared to His servants and to the prophets. You know, in case you've forgotten, God does not operate like we do. God does not operate on our timetable. Sometimes we think we are in a period of delay or God is holding back, but it's working exactly as God chose it to work. And how one day is as a, how many years? 1,000 years, right? So you know, on God's timetable, since Jesus has been here, we're in what, day 3? You know, this hadn't been that long. Day 2 or 3, Peter writes, he said, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years, one day. You see, it appears today. We look, and it looks like sin and Satan are winning the battle. How sad is it here in the state of Indiana? We just had in our House of Representatives here in the state, they passed a law that bans transgender boys from participating in girls' sports." And I said, "Hallelujah. Man, what a great thing." I sent my representative a note, email, and said, "Man, I'm proud of you, praying for you. But my concern is that it'll never get through the Senate." How sad it is here in the state of Indiana. We are an ultra-red state. We're an ultra-conservative state. And I guarantee you that that bill will never make law. Because there'll be people in our Senate here in the state that'll think, "Oh, that's a bad idea." No, my friend, that's a great idea. Transgender boys have no business in a girl's locker room or playing girls' sports. That's just common sense. But you look around and you think, why are we facing these battles? Why isn't abortion in the state of Indiana completely outlawed? You dropped your snowball. That's what you were doing in that file cabinet earlier today. I was thinking about this illustration, old illustration, about how we think sometimes. By the way, Miss Carol's one that started that years ago, all right? And you know, we look around and it's easy for us to get a little discouraged and think, "Wow, you know, what is God doing? Satan seems to be winning on every front." I remember hearing this illustration. I heard about these boys who were out one time playing baseball. A man was riding down the road, and he stopped and decided, you know, he's going to watch them play for a little bit. And as he was standing up against the fence, he looked over there and said to one of the little fellas, he said, "Son," he said, how's your team doing?" And he said, "Well, we're not doing so good." And the man said, "Well, what's the score then?" And the little boy said, "They're beating us 23-0. And the man said, "Boy, that's bad, son. That's just real bad." And the little boy said, "Yes, sir, but it's not too bad." He said, "Because we ain't gone to bat yet." Amen. Look, can I tell you this? Our God hadn't gone to bat yet. It may look like it's 23-0. It may look like Satan is winning all of these battles. But here's what we need to know. Our timetable is not His timetable. And what you and I are looking at from the bottom, and we're thinking, "Wow, what a mess." God's saying, "That's exactly, that stitch is exactly where I want it to be at. That's exactly how I want all that to work out." According to God's calendar, everything is working out exactly like God wants it to happen. God is going to return soon. God is going to turn the page. Angel Gabriel is going to blow the trumpet. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return for the saints of God. And then God will judge the earth. And He'll judge sin. And He'll judge the devil. And usher us into eternity. I don't know about you, but I just don't think that'll be that long. So we see the angel that John saw. And we read about the announcements that John heard. And then next week, we'll cover the appetite that John has. John has a strange meal before this chapter is over with. A strange meal. So I encourage you guys to read the rest of this chapter, pray about it, and think about some ways that this book that John is told to eat can apply to our lives. Amen? Okay. Let's pray. Let's go home tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We rejoice.